All right, you can open your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. We'll be looking at 11 verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, starting there in verse 20. And we'll read down to verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll be reading verses 20 through verse 31. Now, as we get to the close of verse 31, I want you to notice a phrase that's at the end of that verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 31. The Bible says here, "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour?" We're at verse 31 here, and I want you to catch this phrase at the end. Paul says here, "I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord." Three words: I die daily. "If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, with it advantageth it me if the dead rise not." What advantageth it me if the dead rise not? "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." And as we come to the close of that verse 31, there's a phrase there that as we look at it, and as we jump into the message, no doubt it's a phrase that's easier said than done. And before we get into the message, I want you to ask yourself the question personally: do I die daily? Do I die daily? If you were to look at the background of what Paul was saying here in this statement, "I die daily," it points us to two things in Paul's life. First, it's Paul's physical sufferings, and then as well, it's the extreme perils which he faced throughout his life. In 2 Corinthians 4, 10 through 12, I'm going to read you a couple verses here just to give you an idea, and you've heard these before, but the Bible says, "Also, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." Romans 8:36, "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And then a little bit of a longer one, 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 27, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And you don't have to look far in Paul's life to realize that he suffered mighty things for the Lord. Not he suffered physically, he suffered mentally, and as well he suffered spiritually. And it was, and many times in his life, his very life was in danger. Many times that he was at the point where people wanted to kill him.
Yes, sir.
And we know he was stoned.
Yep.
And as you read, you would think, man, Paul, he's getting ready to throw in the towel. As you read about Paul, you would think, man, why don't you just back off a little bit?
Come on.
Why don't you just be like the rest of us that are just coasting along, Paul?
Come on.
Why doesn't he just quit? You can almost hear the critical spirit of people saying Paul is just trying to draw attention to himself.
Come on, preach.
And yet he continued to endure suffering. Let me remind you, yes, he was a human too. It was Paul that said, For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Don't forget, Paul, he struggled with the same flesh that you and I do.
That's right.
And then it's true that Paul endured much of it, and he counted it a privilege to and a joy to suffer for Jesus. And you ask yourself, why? Why would someone count it joy to be in perils often? Why would someone count it joy to be in to have false brethren come after him? Why would someone count it joy? Because he realized Jesus suffered that we might have life.
Mm-hmm.
And if Jesus could suffer for us, then man, we can suffer for him.
Amen.
Paul realized that if he was going to continue in his Christian life, if he was going to continue to preach, if he was going to continue to witness, if he was going to continue to truly be effective for the Lord, he understood that he must die daily.
Amen.
Tonight I have 3 points under the phrase, I die daily. I tried to keep these all alliterated. Point number one, dying daily is personal. Dying daily is personal. If you look at that phrase, I die daily, you'll notice that the first word, it's not a big word, but it's I. And this is about the only time where I is good in the Bible. Most of the time you're saying, no, it shouldn't be about you, but this is where it's good.
Amen.
Because for you to take that first step of dying daily, you must first learn to take your eyes off of everyone else, take your eyes off everybody else and look in the mirror. I die daily.
Yes, sir.
Too often we are trying to get everyone else straightened out. And yes, I believe there's a time to speak into another brother or sister's life. But as we heard from Brother Curlin, you can't help others when you got a beam lodged in your own eye.
Amen.
Because that beam is not going to help you see straight.
That's right.
It's going to throw off your vision. And maybe you're like me, but sometimes I misjudge maybe where someone is at spiritually, or maybe where a church is at, or maybe where that pastor is at. Because we think we see everything that's going on, but really we aren't seeing straight because we might have a beam in our eye. And I know this sounds simple, but you can't make the choice for anybody else to die daily.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be, you're the only person that can choose that for you. I die daily. Stop with, well, so-and-so over there, and they need to do this, and too many Christians run around thinking that they will do a better job than Jesus getting other people on the right track.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Again, there is a time and place to help, but that job isn't really given to us. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. That's why we're given a comforter. We encourage other brothers. We encourage them. But there is a time where you got to let the Spirit work. We say it for salvation, but then we seem to forget it for sanctification.
Right.
Salvation, the Holy Spirit is the only one that can convict someone to be saved. Amen, I agree with that.
Yeah.
So then why for sanctification do we forget that? Because it's the same in sanctification as well. We have a pastor to preach. We can encourage one another. But when it comes down to it, pastor preached on this just a couple weeks ago for many Wednesdays regarding convictions, regarding standards, regarding your preferences. That's a job that the Holy Spirit has to do in your personal life. I can't make those decisions for you. I could, but they're not going to hold any water. Because the moment I pass on, or the moment that I'm not here anymore, the moment pastor isn't here anymore, is the moment that you're going to be like, oh, well, he's not here, so we don't have to do that anymore. But if it's the Holy Spirit that's convicted you, and it's the Holy Spirit that's helping you to die daily, then it's something that will last.
Wow.
If it's not Him, it's not going to last. This first point here takes a great amount of humility. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but humility is not my strong suit.
No.
Humility is not something that's usually done easily.
Right.
Often the reason we never really get to dying daily is because of pride.
Yeah.
We begin to look at everyone else as the problem. We begin to look at everyone else as wrong.
Yep.
And yet really, as I said at the beginning, we have to be able to look in the mirror.
Amen.
I die daily.
Amen.
And because of that, many people will live their life, they'll go to the grave, and they'll never have true revival in their heart.
There you go.
Because they don't die daily. Stop playing the victim mentality. Stop making excuses. Where's the problem? If you're not dying daily, it's with you.
Amen.
Right.
I don't know who this guy is. I was watching something. I don't even know his name. But I happened to come across his video. He's an old car salesman, and he's going around, and he's instructing the other car salesmen on how to improve, get better sales. And this guy was straight up with these men. A bunch of, kind of like about this group, but imagine you're all like right here, front and center, and he's talking to them, and he was in their face for cars. And these are unsaved people, okay, and they're receiving it. And so he'll go around the room and ask people where they have a weak spot or where is the point where they struggle. And he got to one guy who is older, he's a gray-headed man, and he asked him, he said to this older man, where do you struggle? Where do you struggle in car salesmen? Or, you know, why aren't you getting the sales that you would like? And the older man says, well, I struggle a lot with the technology side. The marketing aspect, and technology is hard to learn. And this older man, he's going on and on. And finally, the man instructing the class says, stop. Stop making excuses.
Come on.
Yeah.
There you go.
You're the problem.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And this instructor tells him, I don't want to hear about how hard it is.
Yep.
He says, learn it.
Amen.
He said, study it.
Yes, sir.
If it was something you wanted to learn, you would figure it out.
Amen.
And it's amazing that a lost man could do that to another lost man in a room. I mean, he's in his face. And I will say, I think there's a spirit behind the way we do that. But that older man, he could be like, who are you? You're, 20 years younger than me. But he took it.
Come on.
Because he wanted to be a better car salesman.
Amen.
If you want to be a better Christian, you're going to have to learn how to die daily.
Amen.
It's the same with us. And I get it. There are some people who have a certain gift or talent that God has blessed them with. But if we are honest, most of us are pretty good at making excuses for ourselves.
Yep.
Again, I'm not preaching this like I got it figured out. As I was downstairs, the Lord was nailing me with this. We won't accept the excuses from other people, but when it comes to us, well,
Come on.
And then we go again, not seeing straight because we got a beam in our eye. You know how you can tell? Because even right now as I speak, there is probably some of us who are thinking, man, so-and-so needs to hear this message right now. Stop.
Amen.
That's the problem.
Amen.
So-and-so may need it, but more than so-and-so needing it, you need it.
Amen.
The first point, the dying daily is personal. It begins with you. Not only is dying daily personal, but number two, dying daily involves perishing. Dying daily involves perishing. That second word, I what? I die. Paul, when he said, I die daily, lived in a way where he wasn't grasping onto the things of this world. He was dead to possessions. He was dead to promotions.
Yes.
And he was dead to other people's opinions.
Amen.
We find in Galatians 2:20 the sum of it all when he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
When Christ was hanging on that cross and he died, and this is something new I learned today. God the Father looked down and he didn't just see his Son. When Jesus was hanging on that cross of Calvary and God the Father looked down, he didn't just see Jesus, but he saw you and me.
Yeah.
What do I mean by that? God looks upon the church as a whole. And we can make it more personal. He looks upon our church as a body. Who is the head of that body? Jesus.
Yeah.
Who are the members of that body? That's you and me. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. When Paul wrote to the believers at Ephesus, he said in Ephesians 5:30, "For we are members of His body," that's talking about Christ, "of His flesh and of His bones." Writing to the church at Colossae, Paul said it in Colossians 1:18, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." And then Colossians 3:3, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." When God looked down on Mount Calvary, He not only saw the head, but He saw the entire body of Jesus, complete. And I believe there He saw the church, which was in that very moment being purchased with Christ's own blood. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross, so did we. When He was crucified, so were we. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The moment that Christ was crucified, so we were on the cross with Him. If you're saved, that's you. Once you're born again, you are in Christ. That's why Paul said, "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, and He gave Himself for me." The point I want to get across to you is that you don't really have much of a choice in this. Once you're saved, you're crucified with Christ. Notice Paul here didn't say, "I chose to be crucified." He said, "I am." You can't crucify yourself. That's impossible. If I were to bring a cross in here tonight, none of you could nail yourself to that tree.
That's right. Come on.
I am crucified with Christ. Someone else does that to you.
Yes, sir.
So where does that lead us? The choice now comes for you to submit to God in your life in the second half of verse 20, where it says, "In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." There's the choice. This is where I believe the choice is now up to you on how you're going to live. Are you going to live after the manner of the flesh? Or are you going to live through the power of God? I believe that choice involves dying in two separate areas. First area is dying to self. Second area is dying to your success. Dying to self, as one preacher said, the flesh dies hard. Dying to self is probably one of the hardest things that you're going to encounter in your Christian
life.
That's
right. Good preaching.
Because it's a daily thing.
Amen.
That's going to be our last point, that it's perpetual. Dying daily. It's every day.
Yep.
Daily. Dying to self.
Come on.
Every time you go to sleep, you can wake up and the next morning, this old flesh is alive and He's well with you. And if you don't spend that time with the Lord and allow Him to have control of your life, at some point during your day, your flesh is going to pop its head up.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you see this more evident in some people's lives than in others.
Yeah.
And maybe you're asking, "Well, what's that look like, Brother Cooper?" I'm going to give you some examples. This is where it might start to get real personal within the next few moments. And you're going to have a choice, just like you do every day. Because even as I preach, sometimes you start to feel that flesh poke its head up. He's young, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah, he's a novice, or whatever it is that goes through your mind. Hey, I know I am. Those aren't new things to me. But if I'm bringing you the Word of God, then you should be taking heed to the Word of God.
Amen.
Even if you don't take heed to the words I say, take heed to the Word of God.
Amen.
You're going to start to feel that flesh fight its way to the top. But may I encourage you, don't fight back, but rather yield unto the Lord.
Amen.
One example where we often see the flesh in our lives is when we make assumptions. May I say this? Assumptions are very dangerous.
Yes, sir.
Because often how it plays out is when we're not dead to self, and because we start making assumptions about maybe what someone meant by what they said, or we assume maybe what a spouse meant when they were talking to us, we're talking to our child, and maybe a child assumes what a parent means, what they were saying. When we assume things, and whenever we start to allow our flesh to rise to the top, or we assume things regarding another believer's decisions, because of that, we are not only hurting ourselves, but many times we get other people involved and it hurts them as well. When you start making assumptions. You see, this many times played out when there isn't face-to-face interaction. One big area where we witness it, and I notice it, I mean, just go on social media. You see people fighting all over social media. A lot of times it's because you can't see the person. Well, when they said that, they meant it like this. You have no idea.
That's right.
We assume we do, and then we get worked up about it.
Right.
Why? We're not dead.
That's right.
We're not dead to self.
They're preaching.
Someone makes a post, or maybe someone says something over here, and because we are full of self and we're not dead, we start to have the following thoughts. They are writing that about me. How dare they? And we work ourselves up into a frenzy, and usually it doesn't stop there. We go tell someone else because why? We're not dead to self.
Yep.
And when we go tell somebody else because we know what they meant and we know what the motive was, we usually start spreading discord and poison. Which, by the way, is one of the things that God hates.
Sure.
Is someone who sows discord among brethren. And God actually says it's an abomination in Proverbs 6:19.
Yes, sir.
Last time I checked in here, no one's a mind reader.
That's right.
You don't know what's going on in someone else's head. You say, Brother Cooper, why are you preaching this? Because I struggle with this.
Amen. Come on.
So how do you help the situation? Instead of assuming, go talk to the person.
Amen.
It helps solve everything.
Yeah.
Hey, did you mean this when you said that? No. Great. Over. But we hang on to it. Hey, brother, when you posted that or when you said this, did you intend to add at me or did you say it in this way? No. Done. It's done. And you know what? Most of the time you're going to find that it had nothing to do with you at all. But the problem is we get full of self.
Yep.
And we think every time, trust me, ask Sabrina, I've gone to her multiple times. Hey, what do you think this means? Do you think when they were talking about me? Why? Because we get full of self.
Yep.
Can I just help you out? Because this has helped me, and I'm still working on it. But the world doesn't revolve around you.
Amen.
99% of the time, you're not going through other people's minds when they do things.
Right.
But the problem is, there's a lot of Christians who aren't dead to self. So in selfishness, what do? We start assuming things.
Yeah.
And that we start forming a problem in a situation that was never there to begin with.
There you go.
And just so you know, I'm not preaching this, like I said, like I got it all together. God, many times in my life, even in the past week, He has to come, Coop, you're not dead. Standing up for self.
Come on.
What do I have to do? Yeah, Lord, you're right.
Amen.
Yeah.
I die daily. Even if someone did mean someone towards you, guess what you're supposed to do?
Die.
Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. What can we add with these verses? Die to self. Die to self. Now, again, this doesn't mean that it gives license then to people. You just run around and you say whatever you want. Because the Bible has a lot to say about the tongue, and that's a whole other message. God has been showing me and helping me learn in this area. Because I'm starting to realize in my life that a lot of my problems start because of the assumptions that I make. Because of not being dead to self. If your first response is the bristling up, you start to get mad, you start forming a response already in your mind of how you're going to get back at that person, that is self arising in your heart.
Yeah.
And in that moment, learn to take it to God.
Amen.
Lord, help me to die to self. Lord, help me to realize the world does not revolve around me.
Amen.
That's just dealing with talking about social media. You can apply this to your spouse. You can apply this to your children. You can apply this to relationships within the church, your relationship with your pastor.
Yep.
And when we aren't dead to self but full of the flesh, we hinder not only ourselves, but when we're full of the flesh, we hinder our church.
Amen.
Yeah.
How? Because as we learned earlier, we are a body of believers here. I'm on the same team you are. I'm in this with you, okay? I'm fighting with you. And just like any competition or race, if my teammate is not focusing on the right thing, he's not only hurting himself, he's hurting the whole rest of the team.
Yep. You got that right.
Whenever my teammate doesn't have his eyes where they should be,
yep.
And when we don't have our eyes on Christ,
amen.
We're starting to hurt other people in the church.
Yes, sir.
We might not even know it.
Yep.
Don't be full of self. Die to self.
Yes, sir.
Oftentimes, why do people leave a church? Selfishness.
Yep.
Why do rumors get spread? Selfishness.
Amen.
Why do we lash out at others with our tongue? Selfishness.
Yep.
Why do we fight back? Selfishness. Yes, the flesh dies hard, but praise the Lord, through the power of Jesus Christ, it is possible. So much more I could say here, but for sake of time, second point, dying to your success. In other words, your dreams, your wishes, and your plans. Die to those. God can take so much better care of you than you can take care of yourself.
Yes.
If you can learn to place everything on the altar and allow Him to have control of you, you'll soon find blessing after blessing after blessing, answered prayer after answered prayer. But it all starts with you dying to yourself and then dying to your successes.
Yeah.
And many times the dreams and the things we would like to do, if we're surrendered to His will, not always, but many times, He'll allow you to do those things anyway. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Yeah.
Our preacher, Pastor Wagner, preached a message called at Empowered Youth, and it was called, Will You Cross the Line?
Yes, sir.
I want to read a quote directly from that message, because I can't say it any better than what he said. And I just want you to listen as I read this. A little bit of a longer quote. This is from our pastor. It says, it's not about him. It's not about his plans. It's not about his wishes. It's not about the dreams he would like to fulfill. It's not about the wealth that he has. He's talking about a crucified man. He's found something greater in life. He's realized there's a purpose greater than him. And he says, if I can bring glory to God, let me be crucified with Christ. And let the life I live no longer be my life, but let it be the life that Christ lives through me. Let me be all about God. He goes on to say, and I guarantee you, teenager, if you get to that point where you're crucified with God, you won't fight with your parents. You're dead to self. I guarantee you, husband and wife, you won't bicker and fight and throw things in the house and have a big fuss over it because you're crucified to self. It takes pride to have contention. It takes pride to fight back. It takes you standing up for me and saying, nobody can say that about me. He says here, why can't they? Are you still alive? Are you still hanging on to something? And now I'll close out that quote. He says, listen, God's not in the business of promoting your pride.
That's right.
At the center of being dead to self, at the center of not being dead to self, is not being dead to your successes. Whenever we're not dead to those things, it's because of pride. That's at the center. And when there is pride in your heart, God says that He resists you.
That's right.
He doesn't have anything to do with you. Choosing to remain alive, living for self, and living for your success results in having an unfulfilling and unfruitful life. If you choose to say, God, you know what? I know what you want me to die daily. I know you want me to live for you, but I'm going to choose to live for myself. I'm going to choose to respond. I'm going to choose to lash out at that brother. I'm going to choose to say something I shouldn't. Every time you choose to do that, it's pride. And God says He resists that. He's resisting you. Until you get it right, He's resisting you. Point number one, dying daily is personal. Point number two, dying daily involves perishing. Number three, dying daily is perpetual. I had to look at a dictionary to get some bigger words here. Dying daily, and to match with the P's, that was hard. Dying daily is perpetual. I die how often? Daily. I die daily. The Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Sure.
Every day you take a step, I die daily. Another step, I die daily. Another step, I die daily. Another step, I die daily. Over and over and over and over and over again. You get to one day, nope, not going to die today. You're not running the Christian life.
That's right.
You're going to fall.
Yeah.
When you wake up in the morning, you know what? Nope, I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not going to pray. You're going to fall.
That's right.
And guess what? The days you do read your Bible, you do pray, you might still fall.
Yeah.
There's been times in my life where I'm just going through the motions reading it.
Come on.
I'm just going through the motions praying. And guess what? Cooper falls.
Yeah.
I might lash out and with my tongue at somebody I shouldn't. I might say something I shouldn't. I might, you know, do something, respond in a way. Whatever it is, it's because I'm not dead to self.
That's right.
Because if you were close to Christ, He's not telling you to act that way.
Amen.
He's not telling you to respond like that. That's your flesh.
Right.
So don't listen to it. Yes, other people can usually tell. Ask yourself, are you dying daily? Other people can look at you. They can tell. But when it comes down to it, only you and Jesus know if you're dying daily.
Yeah.
I'll close with this. I believe if you are dying daily, there's going to be a very clear evidence of it. What is that? The fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. If those things are evident in your life, then you're on your path of dying daily. If something else is flowing and coming out of you, don't tell me you die daily.
That's right.
If you don't have that list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
If you don't have that list, and if that's not evident in your life, you know if it's not. And if it's not, don't tell me that you're dying daily. Don't tell me you're fully surrendered to Christ. Because if that's the fruit of the Spirit, I could go back and I could show you the list of what the flesh does.
Right.
A lot of times that's what we're showing, right?
Yeah. Come on.
But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. I mean, do you find anything in there where we're standing up for ourselves? Nope. We find the example of our Savior. What did He do? Stand up for Himself? Nope.
Died.
Literally, He died on the cross, but through His life, He also died. Died daily. He set the example for us. He humbled Himself. If you want a litmus test, there it is. Compare yourself to those 9 fruits and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, and I guarantee you, He'll show you the areas in your life where you're not dying daily.
Amen.
As I said, working on this afternoon, the Lord's like, pointing out things in my life. And I say this almost every month, you get 2 choices at that point.
Yeah.
You can either surrender, say, Lord, you're right. Help me to die daily there. It's not, I'm making the problem myself. Ask Miss Sabrina. We're in the house. Hey, so-and-so said this or, this or whatever. And I take something the wrong way. And you can make problems so big. Why do we do that? Because you're not dead.
Yep.
Ask the Lord where it is that you're not dying daily and He'll show you. Let's stand on our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. I pray the Lord worked in your heart like He's worked in mine. This is, as I said, pray for me. It's something that I'm striving to do, is to learn how to die daily. It's a hard thing, but man, is it rewarding. Because you start to become more like Christ. He starts to form you. He starts to mold you. And you see the progress you make. And it's not you making the progress, but it's Him doing it through you. And it's neat to see when He does that. Lord, we thank You for Your love for us. Thank You, Lord, for how You've used this in my heart. Lord, I pray during invitation time now, if there's anyone here, Lord, we know if we're not dying daily. And Father, we need Your help. So Lord, I pray tonight there's someone here who isn't dying daily, or maybe they know specifically an area in their life where they need to fully surrender to You. I pray that You give them the power and the strength to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.